be in the house of God this morning. I'm thankful for who he is and for what he's done. That's why we're here. Because of the cross, because of the blood, because of the empty tomb. We can come and we can worship and we can walk in victory this morning. I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. If you're thankful for that, look at somebody and smile and say, I am thankful for what God has done. Amen. I'm thankful for what God has done. He's good, church. He's good. I want you to understand this morning that God has a plan for our lives, and he's got something he's wanting to do through us. The message God's given me this morning, it's simple. You've probably heard it many times, and yet it's profound. A lot of times we try to complicate the truths of God's word, and you know what? It's simple. The word says that God's ways are so simple that a fool, though he were a wayfaring man, would not err therein. God's ways are simple. We like to complicate it, don't we? But it's simple. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. I want to minister to you a word that the Lord's laid on my heart, entitled simply, Called Out. So, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And if you're able, please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And I'll begin there in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 13. It says, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you would bow your heads, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the empty tomb. That's why we're here. So, Lord, we give this service to you, and we pray that you be glorified and lifted up through it. Lord, minister to us right where we are. You know what we need. Open our eyes, open our ears, that we might hear and see what you have us to hear and see this morning. Touch me, Lord, anoint me that I would preach your word. Not my thoughts, not my ways, not my words, but Lord, let me minister your word to these people. And for everything we do, we'll glorify your name, Jesus. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've been called out. If you've repented and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a child of God. You've been called out. You are not where you are by accident. You're a child of God. God has strategically placed every one of us right where we are. Now, there's been times in my life where I thought, I don't know so much about this. I don't know. I don't see the plan. Have you ever been there? I don't know if I really see the strategic plan in where I am right now. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that thought process. But I want you to understand something. If you are a child of God, there's nothing that happens in your life by accident. Now, there's some things that can happen when we get outside of God's will because of our disobedience. But if we are submitted to God's will in our life and we're walking with Him, we are where we are because He's placed us there for a particular reason and purpose. And I know we're honoring educators today, and we're thankful for them. But I want you to understand, no matter who you are, if you're a homemaker, if you are a businessman, if you work at the bank, wherever you are, God has placed you there, if you're His child, to be a light and a witness, to be salt and light for Him. Now that sounds simplistic, but it's powerful. Because I want you to understand that if everybody that repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and said, I am a child of God, if they begin to walk in what Jesus tells us right here, I want you to imagine the difference we would see in our communities, in our homes, and in our nation. It's powerful. It's simplistic, but it's powerful. God has called us to be a salt, to be salt and light right where we are, to advance His kingdom. As 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us, we are the Lord's written epistle. God's writing a story to the world through us. And God's looking for some people that He can use to advance His kingdom and write His story. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, it records a conversation that the Trinity's having there in heaven. And it says, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. I believe that God is looking for some people who will answer the call to be salt and light in this day and in this hour that we live in, because God has a purpose and a plan. Yes, He does. He's got a purpose and a plan. And I believe that God is looking for some people like Joshua who will say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. I believe He's looking for some people like those three Hebrew boys who were in a foreign land, and when all the pressure was on them and everybody else was bending the knee saying, I'll compromise what God has said, and they said, I will not compromise the truth of God's word. You can throw me in the fire if you want to, but I will not compromise the truth of God's word and what He has called me to. I believe God's looking for some people like that. I believe God is looking for some people of faith that when the pressure is turned up, that they stand on His word and they're light and they're salt. And when people look at them, they say, there's something different about those people. They don't act like I act. They don't talk like I talk. They don't live like I live. There's something different about them. That is what being salt and light is all about. He's looking for some people like Daniel who are committed to prayer and seeking God, who are committed to God's ways. It doesn't matter what the cost is. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks or says. He's committed to the purpose and the plan of God. And I want you to understand something, that if we're going to fulfill our purpose, if we're going to be salt and light, we got to first know who we are. Because there's a lot of people in the church today who have a big identity crisis. Yes, they do. And if you notice what Jesus says here, the first thing He tells us is, you are salt. You are light. He's telling us who we are. And what is salt? Have you ever thought about that? What is salt? Salt is a preservative. Salt only works when it penetrates the food or the substance that is being used to preserve. It's a preservative, but it has to penetrate in order to preserve. It becomes useless, though, when it's contaminated by outside chemicals. So when you think about the fact that Jesus says to us, we are salt, He is telling us that we've got to penetrate our society while staying pure to Him and the purpose to which we are called. Otherwise, we become useless. What is light? Light penetrates darkness. Light's only useful when it's put in a dark place. In other words, if I go out there today and I take a flashlight, if I was to leave this building, go out there right now and turn on a flashlight, it wouldn't do me much good, would it? Because the light is already there. You probably wouldn't even be able to see the light. But God places us in dark places sometimes so that we can shine for Him. Amen. You can't shine in the light because the light's already there. In order to shine, you must be put in a dark place. And God puts us in dark places so that we can shine. He puts us in this society so that we can penetrate, preserve, shine, tell the story of what Christ has done. And you know what Peter, I believe it was, that said that be ready to give an answer to anyone who comes to you that asks, what is the hope? What's the hope that lies within you? Now, nobody's going to ask you that question if you're not salt and light, because you're just like them. If you walk, talk, live like them, there's no question, because you're just like them. God's called us to stand out. He's called us out of this world. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're a light in the world. Then he says this, now that you know who you are, you were children of darkness, but there's been a change in you. Now you're children of light. And then because of the fact you know now who you are, now that needs to affect how you walk. Because then he says this, he says, now walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, we're not saved by works, but God has created us that we might walk in good works. Amen. And he says here that we're God's masterpiece. Look at someone smile and say, I'm a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. I'm a work of art. Some of y'all just look at me like, no, that's all right. God said it, I did. You're a masterpiece. You're unique. You have a specific purpose. You're rare. Custom made by God for a particular purpose. You're different from everybody else on the planet. You ever thought about that? Your DNA is different from everybody else's. Your fingerprints are different than everybody else. There will never be another person that has DNA exactly like yours. And there's never been a person with DNA like yours. There'll never be another person with the same fingerprint as yours. Never has been, never will be. There will never be another person in this universe just like you. You are unique. Never has been, never will be. That's the kind of unique God that we serve. And he creates us as his masterpiece. You're different from everybody else on the planet. And God says to us, you need to walk like you're different from everybody else on the planet. Don't be like everybody else. I ain't called you to be like everybody else. Some people say, well, you're a strange preacher. Well, I ain't called to be like every other preacher. Amen. I'm called to be who God has created me to be. Amen. And I get it. I have to chuckle and I laugh. And I've been there. I've done this. But I see all these young guys and they got these jerseys. And they got these names on the back of their jersey with the number. And they're trying to be somebody that they're not. God ain't created you to be, help me out here, LeBron James. Why are you going to walk around with his name on your jersey? That's not who you are. Yeah. But all these young guys, they want to identify with all these other people that they want to emulate and be like. And Christ is saying to us, you're unique. Walk in what I've called you to be. Shine where I put you. Be salt where I put you. Be who I have called you. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks or says. You're not going to stand before them. Be who I've called you to be. Amen. Shine right where you are. You're different from everybody else. See, Satan wants us to lose sight of who we are. He wants us to lose sight of our uniqueness. He wants to conform us. That's what Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says. It says, look, don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Got to change the way you think about things. Got to change the way you think about who you are. Got to change the way you think about who God is. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People need to see it. They need to know it. And God has called us to do that. Don't let the enemy conform you. God has a divine purpose for each one of us. Instead of trying to be like everybody else, just be who God's called you to be. A lot of people are tricked by the enemy into rebelling against God's purpose for their life. Did you know that? And operating independently from His Word. A lot of people today think they know better than God. They don't have to say it, although some do. The way we live tells the story. But God knows. I'm not that smart, and you're not that smart. But God is. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He formed the end from the beginning. That ought to blow your mind this morning. That means before God created anything, He already saw the end. That's why He told Jeremiah, He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you and appointed you a prophet unto the nation." Look, I already been there. I already talked to you. I know who you are. You don't know who I am, but I already know you. I already seen you. That ought to blow your mind. God's not bound by time. He formed the end from the beginning. That's what the Scripture tells us. And so therefore, He knows everything. He knows what's best. And if we really understood who we are, it would affect how we live. When we understand who we are, it will affect how we live. It will. I want you to think about something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know what it says? It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Let me make this point to you. A lot of people are living like caterpillars when God has made them into a butterfly. God said, "Don't crawl around eating leaves. I've called you to fly and sip on the sweet stuff." And we're crawling around settling for what the enemy thinks and says and what the world thinks and says rather than walking in the call that God has for our lives. You're not a caterpillar. You're a butterfly. Live like it. A lot of people living below the call of God on their life. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, I want you to think about Israel for a minute. Because Israel, if you read in Scripture, in Numbers chapter 13, you'll read where Israel, God had brought them out of Egypt, and He had brought them to the land of promise, to the promised land. And they sent out the spies. They sent out 12 spies. 10 came back and said, "We can't do this." 2 said, "We can." But if you read in verse 33, you'll read something interesting because they said, "Look, when we looked at the giants in the land, we're like grasshoppers up beside these fellows. I know what God says. I know what God's done, but we can't do it. It's not going to happen." And the children of Israel forfeited what God had for them because they could not understand their identity in Christ, who they were, and what God had made available to them, so they settled for less. And you know what the Scripture says? The Scripture said they never entered into the promised land. Their children entered in, but God sent them on a long journey. They wandered around in circles until they all died, and then God said, "Now I'll take your children in." And a lot of people spend their whole life running around in circles because they've never embraced the call of God on their life. They do not have the faith to trust God and walk in what He's told them to walk and to be the salt and light in this day. If you're going to be the salt and light, you've got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. If you don't, you will never embrace the call. You'll always operate in fear and unbelief. You'll always operate in your own understanding. And I can tell you from the lessons I have had, let me tell you something. When you begin to operate in your own understanding, you make a big mess. I don't say that from somebody who read a book. I lived it. God has more for us. And if we're going to embrace the call, if we're going to be salt and light, we've got to know who we are. We got to embrace who we are, and we got to walk in who we are. Otherwise, we'll be conformed. See, there's really no in between. Either you embrace your identity in Christ, or you are conformed by the enemy. That is it. There's no in between. You're either conformed or you're transformed. That's it. There's no in between. decide what we will be. Because if we don't decide, we will be conformed. Not only that, but if you're going to be salt and light, you're going to have to understand that it's not about you. And that's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. It's not about you. This life is not about you. Did you know that? Your life is not really about you. And that is so... It's such a different mentality than what this world teaches us. The world teaches you, it's your life. Do what you want to do. If you want to be this, be this. If you want to be that, be that. But I want you to understand something. If you're going to live a life that pleases God, you're going to have to understand that your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price, and God created you specifically with a purpose in mind, and you're going to have to embrace that and say, I submit to your plan and your will and your way for my life. Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was here for a specific purpose, and you're here for a specific purpose, whether you believe it or not. And Jesus was in the garden, and he came to that Garden of Gethsemane experience where he had to say, he said, he knew what was coming. And he said, Lord, if there's a plan B, Father, if there's a plan B, it would be real nice to enact it right now. Because I know the plan we have right now, and I'm not feeling so good about it. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass me. If there's a plan B, Lord, let's do it. But he came to the place where he said, nevertheless, not my will, not what I want, but your will be done. And if you're going to embrace the call of God on your life, and you're going to be salt and light, you're going to have your Garden of Gethsemane experience where you say to God, it's not what I want, God. Because if I got what I wanted, I would do this. And I know that's not what you want. So, as much as it hurts me, as much as I don't understand it, as much as I would rather do something else, as much as this makes a whole lot more sense to me than what you're telling me, I am going to submit to your will and your plan for my life, and I'm going to walk in it. See, there's a whole lot of people in the church today that come to God, and they're not coming to God to submit to his plan. They may say they've submitted to his plan. Now, let me just... Side note here. Submission is only submission when you don't agree with it. If you're submitting to what you agree with, you ain't submitted to nothing. Submission is a yielding of your will. So when you come to the place to get with God where you say, I really don't want to do that, Lord. This is not my plan. This does not make sense. I don't like this, but I'm yielding my will. That is submission. And a lot of people today don't come to God with a submissive spirit. They're not submitting to his plan. What they want God to do is help them work out their plan.
Yeah.
In other words, I know what I want, and I know my plan, and God, if you could help me get there, I'd greatly appreciate it. Lord, help me. I'll give some money in the offering. I'll pray about it. If I really want it bad enough, I may fast about it. But God, work out my plan.
Yeah.
Work it out. And God's saying to you, no. If you want to be what I've called you to be, then you got to submit to my plan. And that hurts sometimes. And that don't make sense sometimes. There's been plenty of times, haven't there, honey, where we sit down and we look at life and we look at what God told us and we say, are you sure, God? We had that when we come here, right? We were settled where we were. We had a nice home. We had family. We had all these things, and we were settled. And God speaks to us and says, go to Nicholson and take the church. And we're thinking, nah, we don't know anybody. We'll have to sell our home. What are we going to do? And God works it out. But if you're going to walk with God, you've got to submit to his plan and not yours. Because you'll never understand. God's ways are higher than yours. If you think that you're going to understand what God's doing all the time in your life, newsflash, ain't going to happen. In fact, faith requires us to not understand what God is doing. Because if you understand it, you won't operate in faith. Faith is saying to God, I trust you. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Number one, you got to trust Him. And if you don't, if you understand it, if it's your plan, you're not trusting God. A lot of people come to the house of God and they want to manipulate God into doing what they want, and it doesn't happen. Moses, come to his experience with God, come to the burning bush. God said, this is what I want you to do, Moses. I've got a call on your life. You're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to tell him, let my people go. And Moses did just exactly what most of us do. He started with a steady stream of excuses as to why he couldn't do it. Ever been there? I'll raise both hands on that one, right? He says, wait a minute now. These people ain't going to listen to me. I can't even talk good. I stutter. I got problems. I need somebody to speak for me. I can't do this. And God says to him, wait a minute. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't actually say that, okay? He said, who made your mouth? God has designed you. He created you specifically for the call that He has on your life. He created you to shine and to be salt right where you are. But it requires us to understand that it's not about us. You know, this may be a crude example, but it's the best I got. We all have appliances in our home, right? Somebody say something. We all, most of us, I guess, some of us have appliances in our home, all right? Now, that appliance operates for a specific purpose. When I buy a refrigerator and I stick the food in there, I don't expect for it to be cooked when I go to get it tomorrow. Right? When I buy the oven, I don't stick something in there expecting it to be frozen 30 minutes later. It has a specific purpose. And not only that, it doesn't partake of the purpose. In other words, when I stick something in the refrigerator don't eat it. Unless it's a really messed up and old refrigerator. I don't know. But it operates in its specific purpose, and it doesn't partake of the purpose because it's not about the appliance. The appliance is made to function a particular way. Your life is not about you. Look at somebody and say, my life is not about me. And if you don't understand that, you'll never be salt and light, because in order for you to be salt and light, in order to be salt, you've got to be thrust into an environment that is contrary to the way you live. In order to be light, you've got to walk through some dark places. And if you go through your life always thinking that it's about you and that God has given you this life so that He can just bless your socks off every day, then you're not going to understand why you have to go through what you're going through. But when you come to the place in your life where you realize that God is wanting to write His epistle through my life, and God is wanting me to be salt and light right where I am, then when you go through things that you don't understand, you can say, I might not understand it, but I do understand the purpose of it. And I can shine and be salt and light in the midst of it. Now that's easier said than done sometimes. I know things that we go through sometimes can be very difficult. But if we can just trust the Lord, He can do amazing things through us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know what it says? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Don't seek everything else. Now that's what the world tells you. The world says, go after it. Seek those things. And God, through His word, tells us, no, you don't seek the things. You seek the kingdom of God. And then I, who own the cattle upon the thousand hills, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who created this whole universe, I will give you what you need if you will walk in obedience to me. Now, if you don't walk in obedience to me, you're on your own. There's a whole lot of people on their own today. Amen, preacher.
Yeah, amen.
But there's a cost involved in being salt and light. There is. It's not popular sometimes. It's not glamorous sometimes. People get mad at you sometimes. You miss promotions sometimes. There's a cost to it. Jesus said, you know, if you get ready to build something, you've got to consider the cost. When we talk about being salt and light, there's a cost to it. And many people aren't willing to pay that price. They'd rather go with the flow. You know, when Jesus came to the church of Laodicea, this church that was wealthy, they were increased with goods, and they basically said to the Lord when he come to them, "We're good. We'll call you when we need you. Don't rock our boat because we're selling pretty good right now." They weren't willing or didn't want God to rock their boat. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, he wasn't willing to pay the price. He came to the Lord, asking what he needed to do. God told him and he said, "Goodbye." Right? Because he wasn't willing to pay the price. There's a lot of people not willing to pay the price. That's not popular preaching. That's all right. I'm not, that's not my goal. But this is the truth. If we're going to embrace what God's called us to, we've got to embrace what he says. God is looking for people he can use. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I read it before. "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." I wonder how many of us have that approach to our walk with Christ. If everybody in the church had that approach, my, how things might change. You say, "Preacher, how can I have an impact for Jesus?" Shine for him right where you are. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a singer. Not everybody's called to be an evangelist. At churches, but everybody is called to be salt and light and an evangelist to the world. Shine right where you are. Let God use you right where you are. Let me drop another thought in your spirit before I close. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. How can I be salt and light? You know what the scripture says? "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal my land." He said, if my people. He didn't say if Congress. He didn't say if the president. He didn't say if the community. He said, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. You want to be salt and light? Humble yourself. Prayer is all about humility. I don't know if you know that or not, but it is. You say, "I have a problem praying." Well, really what you have is a problem with humility. Because prayer is basically saying to God, "I can't do this without you. I need you. Lord, here am I. Here are my needs. Here's my situation. I need to connect with you because I can't make it without you." You say, "I don't pray like I should." Well, then you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And realize that you can't do it without him. There's a lot of people that live their life on their own. But they never accomplish the purpose that God has for them, their life. We've got to seek his face if we want to see God move in our lives, in our communities, in our families. If we want to be salt and light. It starts with a humble spirit. Humility that drives us to our knees. Where we say, "I don't have the best. I don't know what I need to do. I think I know sometimes." But you say, "God, what do you have to say? What is your will? What is your way? What is your plan?" Because God's plan is not going to be your plan most of the time. You know, when I read the scriptures, when I read in Acts particularly, but when I read throughout the scriptures, Every time God moves, and if you have another example, then come talk to me. But every time I read where God moves, when you sit down and read it, it doesn't make sense. God comes to Gideon. He's hiding, trying to get some food for his family. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor. You're going to lead the army. We're going to defeat the enemy through you because you're going to lead it." And he's hiding, trying to get a little bit of food for his family, just trying to survive. He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor, I can tell you that. But God already knew who he was because he'd already been there. You may not feel like you're what God has called you to be, but you are. You got to walk in it. You got to embrace it. You got to submit to God's plan and his will. Just be salt and light. It's not complicated, church. You want to change this world for Jesus? It's not complicated. It's simple. Just be salt and light. Don't conform, transform. Don't walk in fear and unbelief. Trust God. Do what he tells you to do. Simple. And we like to complicate it, don't we? Stand with me. Lord loves you this morning. And you weren't here by accident. And I don't know where you are or what you're facing. I don't know if there may be something that God is telling you to do that you are battling with, maybe like Moses. And you say, "I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the ability to do it." Or maybe God has strategically placed you somewhere and you're not being salt and light where you are. I don't know. But no matter who you are, no matter where you're what you're facing or what you're going through, I want you to understand something. You can have an impact for Jesus right where you are. You don't have to increase your abilities. All you have to do is submit to God and obey him. And you can change your world for Jesus. It's that simple. And I don't know about you, but I want to change my world for Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you say, "I want to change my world for Jesus. I want to shine brighter than I've ever shone. I want to penetrate. I want to preserve. I want to make an impact for Jesus." If that's you this morning, and you say, "I need help with that. I need help with that. I want to do it. I need help with it." I'm going to open up these altars. I'm going to say, "Come." And I want to say this to you. It's never too late to walk in your purpose. I don't care how old you are. God can take you old, young, middle-aged. He can even use a child. Out of the mouth of babes, he's perfected praise. He can use anybody at any time, in any way. Doesn't matter where you are or what you've done. All you've got to do is come. Repent of your sins. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Submit to his plan. Walk in. The altars are open. Would you come?